This week on the show, we recap the Patriots' win over the Bills with CLNS Media's Mike Petraglia. The debate rages whether or not Rob Gronkowski deserves a suspension. And who had a better weekend, Alabama football or Tiger Woods? All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. And welcome into another Victory Monday in New England, another glorious Victory Monday, Lebowitz.
It's a great day. Great day to be a New Englander.
Great day all around. Great. All three of four teams. We'll get to that fourth in a little bit. But the Patriots picked up the win yesterday. This is the Callin' It podcast powered by CLNS Media. I'm Alex Barth. He's Alex Lebowitz. We thank you for joining us. And now joining us on the phone, he covers the Patriots for CLNS Media, is Mike Petraglia. Trags, how are you?
I'm doing well, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hard to not be doing well during an eight-game win streak. The Patriots take down the Bills yesterday, but the end of the game has everybody talking. It got a little chippy. We'll get into the Rob Gronkowski stuff later. I want to save that for the end. But are you surprised? We'll start with this. As chippy as that game got, the Patriots escaped relatively healthy?
Yeah, that's a good point. It seemed like the Bills were the ones who really took the brunt of the injury toll on Sunday, starting with their quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, getting tackled from behind by David Harris on the first play of the game. Patriots have a way of, when I think the game starts getting chippy, of being very smart about what they're calling, what they're doing. That's why I didn't have a big problem with Tom Brady staying in the game at 23-3 with about, whatever it was, 5 or 6 minutes to go, and the Patriots got the ball back, because he wants to send a message, we're not going to back down, but he also handed the ball off. And, you know, there is a way to protect yourself when games start getting chippy. And the Patriots, it's ironic because the Patriots had just come off a game in which Tom Brady got crushed by Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake. The Patriots have been in their fair share of battles before. Obviously, you can go back as far as the Ravens and the Steelers. They know how to handle themselves when games go beyond the line, shall we say. And I think for that reason, I was not surprised that the Patriots kind of protected themselves.
And you mentioned that they've started to hand the ball off a little bit more. The run game, again this week, playing pretty well. Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, both having a really phenomenal game. Who do you credit for this emergence in the run game? Is it Josh McDaniels, this offensive line, or this running back core?
I think you start with the running back core, and you look at the skill set that Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead bring to the table, and then you look at the tight ends, the way they're blocking, not only Rob Gronkowski, but Bill Belichick in his conference call today gave a lot of props to Dwayne Allen. He's a guy, the tight end, Dwayne Allen, who, you know, certainly got a lot of criticism for not being productive in the pass game in the first half of the season. But Belichick loves to point out the fact that a player like that, and David Harris on the defensive side of the ball for that matter, they stick around the team, they learn the system, they learn what the team needs from them in a very specified role. They learn that role, and then when they're called upon it, when that role becomes more prominent later in the season, they're ready to go. And that's what you have seen from Dwayne Allen in the last couple of weeks. Teams like the Dolphins and yesterday with the Bills staying in the nickel package to defend against the Tom Brady vertical passing game. Well, when you see that, you go with the run game more. You stick two tight ends in there, and you have really a power run game against a team that's playing with only two linebackers. And that's one of the reasons I think the Patriots were able to recognize that and really break off some big chunks of yardage. So you start with the position players, the guys who actually make the big plays themselves, and Burkhead and Lewis, and then you go down the line to the guys who do the blocking in front of them, and then you give some credit to Josh McDaniels for recognizing the defensive scheme and making a run adjustment to it.
Again, we're talking to Mike Petraglia, covers the Patriots for CLNS Media. You mentioned the name David Harris there. Him, Eric Lee, two guys that we haven't seen much of. Obviously, Lee new with the team. Both had big games yesterday. Harris had a couple of sacks. Lee had a sack and an interception. He was all over the field. What do you attribute their big games to? Was it just them playing on another level? Was it the Bills not being ready and the Patriots changing up their defensive game plan?
execution and preparation, like it always is with the Patriots. And David Harris is a veteran. He's been around. And I love the fact that the Patriots found a way to adjust on the first defensive series of the game, no less. You saw Eric Lee really getting pinched in and run at by LeSean McCoy and, to a lesser degree, Tyrod Taylor on that very first drive of the game. And then what happened at the end of that first drive, last couple of plays, it was Eric Lee dropping into coverage, and the Bills and Tyrod Taylor didn't really make – I didn't think they made an adjustment for that adjustment by the Patriots. And obviously Taylor did not see Lee dropping in coverage when he threw that ball over the middle, at whatever it was, the 3-yard line for LeSean McCoy, and Eric Lee was there to pick off the easiest interception he'll ever have. So, you know, I credit the Patriots really making the adjustments on the fly on Sunday and making those adjustments pretty quickly. They don't wait to see they usually don't wait to get burned a couple of times when they need to make an adjustment. They make it on the fly, and that's what I think you saw on Sunday.
Next week, the Pats have Miami. They're in Miami. And it will be the third straight week they'll play a pass rush that is pretty good. And in the past 2 weeks, Brady's been pressured. We saw the outburst between him and McDaniels yesterday. It seems like there's some frustration mounting. Do you have any concerns this upcoming week in the offensive line's ability to protect Tom Brady?
No, I don't, because and Belichick will say this all the time. Defensive players, especially pass rushers, are going to get through a couple of times a game. It's just going to happen. You're not going to bat 1,000%. You know, and Joe Tooney and David Andrews have had a very good year in the middle of the line. Yesterday, they did not. They had a couple of situations where you saw certainly the Bills get through the middle, and really Kyle Williams had a good game, I thought, and really disrupt Brady in that first half, and Brady was getting a little frustrated. But what that argument was about, the spat on the sideline, was Brady was reminded by Josh McDaniels, you had Gronk wide open a couple of times, and you just didn't even look in his direction. And usually when a player like Brady loses it, he's like a kid, you know, a high school teenager who knows their mistakes but don't want to be reminded by the parent of the mistake. That's essentially what that argument was about and what that blow-up was about. It really wasn't an argument. It was just Brady blowing off steam, saying, I know, I get it. And so, you know, I don't think it's anything more than that. And I think the offensive line in front of Brady has actually had a very good year, considering how many defenses are scheming to get to Brady.
You mentioned Andrews and Tooney. How much of their struggles do you think related to the fact it was Andrews' first game back after missing two with an injury?
I don't know. I don't think that much. I think it was you're going up against, again, a terrific nose tackle in Kyle Williams. Probably one of the three or four most dominant in the NFL. I put him right up there with Geno Atkins of the Bengals in terms of being a disruptive tackle, you know, right over the nose. So I don't think it has as much to do with David Andrews coming back from illness as it was the competition and a guy having a good first half. And the Patriots made the adjustment, and certainly they were fortunate that the running game kept that defensive line a little bit more honest.
Mike, we know you're up against it here. Just one last question before we let you go.
Sure.
It's tough to obviously break news on a pre-recorded podcast, but what is the latest you've heard about the Rob Gronkowski situation? Do you expect him to miss any playing time?
I do not expect him to miss playing time. If he got suspended, I would expect the Patriots to appeal it immediately and probably win it, because his track record over 7.5 seasons in the NFL has been pretty spotless. I think there is a possibility that the NFL just slaps him with a heavy, heavy fine and, you know, tells him, you know, in the letter, and then we probably won't even see this, tells him, you know, don't ever do that again, or you're going to be suspended for multiple games. You know, I probably think that's the tack they're going to take. That being said, would it be surprising if they handed out a suspension and then rescinded it? No, I think they could get away. The NFL could probably get away with that as well, saying that, you know, we handed out the suspension, but after Rob made his case, he would be, you know, we're going to rescind it. Either way, I could see that happening, but I find it a little hard to believe that Gronk would miss any playing time for this. I know what he did was obviously wrong. What he did, I'll tell you one thing about it. I thought Dean Blandino made a great point. The NFL would have been in a much better position in this case had Gronk been ejected from that game. That's what should have happened. Gronk, at that, the moment he threw the elbow to the back of the corner's head, he should have been ejected from the game right there. And then the NFL could say, and very rightly so, the discipline was meted out on the field. He was ejected. He will be fined for being ejected and fined for the discipline and then move on from there. But instead, since he wasn't ejected, the NFL has to deal with it after the fact.
It's not like he threw a penalty flag into the stands or anything. Mike
No, I mean, I don't know what you guys thought of that. I thought that was, I mean, it was hilarious. It was comedic. But, I mean, if I'm an organization, unless I'm so desperate, I don't touch Marcus Peters. I mean, the dude has no discipline. He has no sense. Mind you, this is Marcus Peters playing on a team that is fighting desperately from going down the drain. A team that started 5-0, that had aspirations of knocking off the Patriots again in the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl. And Marcus Peters, the one of the few healthy cornerbacks that the Chiefs have left, losing his mind. I mean, if that's what it means to you, then, you know, I can't imagine another NFL team even touching him. I really can't.
Supply and demand. There's not that many good cornerbacks out there to begin with. If you got to deal with the guy, the penalty itself, I think, was stupider than throwing the flag into the stands. But what are you going to do? He is Mike Petraglia, covers the Patriots for CLNS. You can find his work on CLNSmedia.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Trags. Mike, thanks for taking the time.
Guys, anytime, always a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll be talking in the coming weeks as the Patriots try to ramp up to a number one seed again.
Looking forward to it.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
So I've always wondered, Lebowitz, before we started doing our own show, do podcast hosts listen to their own shows?
You got it.
I mean, I listen to us. Do you listen?
Absolutely.
How do you listen?
I usually listen on my phone, just via podcast or the CLNS app.
And we encourage everybody to download the CLNS app. And there's a new way you can listen to the show as well. That's the all-new CLNS Media website, which has launched at clnsmedia.com. CLNSmedia.com is now the home of this podcast and 40-plus other podcasts and vidcasts in the world of sports, finance, comedy, and lifestyles.
We are so excited to have our show featured on the new CLNS Media website. Support our network by checking this episode out at clnsmedia.com. That's clnsmedia.com.
Welcome back to Calling It. You heard it. We talked about it with Mike there at the end. Not the Marcus Peters stuff, although that was hilarious.
That was great.
And some good branding there for the Jews of New York, too.
Absolutely. They loved it. Nice souvenir for the fans.
It's funny. Just you know, growing up where I did with the people I did, I could tell those kids were Jewish before I saw the yarmulke.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
But what we were talking about a little more seriously at the end, obviously, was the Rob Gronkowski situation. We all saw the hit yesterday. And then Twitter went banana land last night.
What do you expect?
Okay, it's one thing to react to it. That's what Twitter's for. But last night was just Deflategate level terrible with the armchair commissioners throwing out, should be suspended for the season, the Patriots should cut him. We had the Montreal take, which is call 911. He should face legal punishment, which is the dumbest take a sports fan can have. We do not need to open up that jar of pickles when we start bringing the law into sports. We saw that Montreal tried to do it with Zdeno Chara, which is why I refer to that, is a moronic take. I'm sorry, you go, because I'm going to...
I have a different outlook on that. I think people who think that should speak up, because then we know whose opinion not to listen to.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
fair enough.
Keep spouting your stupid opinions so that I know to mute you and know never to take your opinion seriously ever.
There has been one instance in the last 20 years of a professional athlete in the major four sports being charged with something It was in hockey. It was on the ice. Marty McSorley of the Boston Bruins.
Of course.
During a dead whistle, took the tip of his stick, put it in a player's eye.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
You can't do that.
But this was not that. This was bad, but this was not that. And go look it up, Marty McSorley, and tell me if this was that bad. We don't need to open that Pandora's box. But here's what I have to say about the hit. And I was jotting this down last night. I was going to do this all on Twitter, and I decided this would be a better platform because I want to be able to get this all out in one stream, and then, Lebowitz, you can go and whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, Rob Gronkowski was wrong. That was a dirty play. It was a dangerous play. It was a cheap shot. He should be fined. He should not be suspended. He should not be vilified. People are treating this like it's the be-all, end-all of NFL bad hits, and that is where the frustration begins, okay? This is a league where Ndamukong Suh goes unchecked. This is a league where Kiko Alonso goes unchecked, all right? Ndamukong Suh chokeslammed, and I'm not using that as a euphemism, put his arm around the throat of Ryan Mallett, lifted him up, and threw him to the turf by his neck with no penalty. And people said, it's Suh being Suh. The reputation actually helps him. And that people are acting like this is the be-all, end-all because it's the Patriots. It's Deflategate all over again. It was not that big of a deal, but it's the Patriots. It's New England, and people want to make it one. Rob Gronkowski has been being held for weeks. He said in the press conference it's been going on for 7 years, really bad in the last 2 and 3. And if you watched Sunday Night Football last night, Zach Ertz got concussed. And on the play, you can go back and watch it, he was held, no flag, and Ertz is like Gronk light. And he's on the wrong side of some of these calls, too, where he gets held, there's bad OPIs, he's just bigger than everybody else. And the way he was held, when he went to the turf, his feet got tied up with the defensive back. I don't remember who it was. I think it may have been Justin Coleman. It was Justin Coleman or Byron Maxwell. He couldn't put his arm down because of the way he was held to brace himself, and he got a concussion. And I look at, I'm not happy that Zach Ertz got concussed, but in a way it proves my point. Everybody's saying, well, you know, Rob Gronkowski is being held, and people want to dismiss that. The officials lost, yes or no, the officials lost control of that game before that play.
Yes.
And the officials made it a more dangerous playing field for Rob Gronkowski by not calling these penalties on him.
Yeah, as they had the past 3 years.
At a certain point, Rob Gronkowski needs to look out for his own well-being. If the officials are going to make it dangerous, we know the injury history this guy has. He's been on the wrong side of plenty of cheap shots. They've cost him games. They've cost him seasons. They've maybe cost him titles. If Rob Gronkowski is going to be on the wrong side of these cheap shots, and the officials who, I'm sorry, if Gronk is suspended, and I'll get to that, the officials should face some discipline as well. If the officials are not going to protect him, it's unfortunate, but he needs to look out for his own well-being. He delivers that hit, as dirty as it was, and I guarantee you, some players are going to think twice about bothering him, all right? They were chirping him all game. They're in his ear all game. There's nothing he can do about that. He gets smack-talked as much as anybody else in the league. We don't know what they were saying. He's getting held all game. Brady's missing him. He's obviously frustrated. Obviously, the Brady missing him doesn't have anything to do with it, but he's being provoked and provoked and prodded and beat up with no help from the officials. I don't fault the guy for looking out for his own safety. He does need to be disciplined. It was not a clean hit. He should be fined. He should not be suspended. We had A.J. Green put A.J. Boye in a chokehold and drag him to the ground with no suspension. Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib incited a riot. Got only one game.
Two. I thought it was two.
Two knocked down to one.
Okay.
And that is what I am worried about. Is that the NFL, let me ask you, do you trust the NFL to handle this correctly? Yes or no?
I mean, how could you? How could
you? I have zero faith in the NFL handling this correctly.
Finish your thought.
The NFL does not, everybody needs to know this, because this goes under the radar way too much. The NFL does not use suspensions to punish players in the case of personal conduct. It does for PEDs and all of that. But where the NFL likes to use suspensions to level the playing field. A.J. Green, no suspension. What's his team's record? Ndamukong Suh, no suspension. What's his team's record? Right? Rob Gronkowski, in 2 weeks, has a huge game coming up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know Trags just said it would be one game, but maybe I'm being paranoid, but I've seen the NFL screw up too many things to not see this. It would be very easy for the NFL to give Rob Gronkowski a 2-game suspension, have the Patriots appeal, delay the appeal process, knock it down to one after the Miami game next week, and then Gronk misses the one game against Pittsburgh. And to all the Patriots fans, this is my last point, because the Patriots fans aren't clean in this either, even the ones defending Gronk. When you're saying, we suspend Gronk for four games, it'll keep him healthy for the playoffs. Your team is good. They're not that good. He's one of your best players. You need him to beat Pittsburgh, and I'm sorry, you need to win that game. You don't want to go into an AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh in January. You don't. Stop being idiots. Stop being moronic. Stop thinking your team's Teflon. The reason they're so much better than everybody else is because they have that guy. If he gets suspended, you're not the same team. Brady has no weapons without him. There's no passing game. There's no running game. You need that guy against Pittsburgh. You can beat Miami without him. You can't beat Pittsburgh. All right? So Bills fans and the rest of the NFL, get the head out of your ass. He shouldn't be suspended. Look at it relative to what else is going on. Patriots fans, get your heads out of your ass. You need him to play. NFL, get your heads out of your ass. You suspended for worse. You have lack to suspend for worse. Rob Gronkowski should not miss any games. All right, I'm done.
Okay, a lot to unpack here. One, first and foremost, it was a dirty hit by Gronk.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
It does not matter that the refs didn't call. We're not fairly calling a game. Yes, he gets held all the time. Yes, there are a ton of defensive pass interference that are not called against him, and it is unfair. He misdirected his anger, and he concussed his opponent. Not what you're supposed to do. He deserves to be reprimanded, and I think one game would be more than fair, and if he gets fined, that's also
fair. He should
fair.
Be fined. I don't remember if I said that or not. He should get a fine. Yeah, it wasn't clean.
More than one game would be excessive. I think we all can agree on that. I just think, you know, this was definitely frustration built up. I think that's why he did what he did, because it was a thing that went on all games, a thing that's gone on all season. And really the past 3 years, he said 7 years, but it took him to build his reputation
right.
and to become as dominant as he did to have the game called not in his favor, but against him.
It was here and there his whole career, but it's really the last 3 years it's been atrocious.
It's been really bad. Why not go to the media and call out the officials and take that $10,000 fine?
Because that's not what the Patriots do.
I get that.
Any other organization probably would have done that.
Remember when Wes Welker, when he was on the Broncos, and he set that pick on Aqib Talib, and Aqib Talib was hurt, and he missed time for the Patriots like 3-4 years ago. Belichick went out and defended Talib. He called out the Broncos. Why can't Belichick come out and say something like, I think Gronk's being called unfairly?
Because
I think
we're living in the post-Deflategate world, and everybody knows now where it stands between the NFL and the New England Patriots, and it won't do his team
any good.
I
also disagree in your point that there's a vendetta out against the Patriots.
You're blind.
I think that Deflategate was making up for Spygate. That's it. He was trying.
That's a vendetta.
Yeah, but it was to please the other 31 owners.
Makeup calls are a vendetta.
Hang on. It was to please the other 31 owners. It was not. To screw the Patriots. So that wasn't the main priority. It was because the other owners were like, you didn't penalize them enough. You need to make up
for it. If it's to please 31 teams, by definition, it's meant to hurt that one other team.
But it's not a personal attack against that one team. It's the purpose to please other people, not to hurt someone. There is a difference there.
I think they're hand in hand, but that's a philosophical difference.
And another thing is, Why would it help the NFL to suspend Rob Gronkowski for the Steelers game when that's going to be one of the biggest
games
of the season?
Because they don't want the Patriots to win.
They want to make money. They do want the Patriots to win, because when Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl and when he's winning, the Patriots makes money. You know who was the number one jersey sold last season? The number one jersey sold was Tom Brady. You don't think the Patriots look at, or the NFL looks at him as their most marketable guy, or one of them?
No, because they wouldn't have knocked him out for four games.
But again, that wasn't about Tom Brady. That wasn't about Tom Brady.
Well, they certainly made it look like it was.
Yeah, obviously he was the one who received the brunt of that punishment along with the Patriots. But that was because you had Jerry Jones, who's not on good grounds with Roger Goodell right now, fighting against him along with Jim Irsay. They're not going to do that anymore. Rob Gronkowski and Goodell are on good terms, and he's not going to screw him again. He already did that. It wouldn't make any sense, and it would be bad for the NFL, not good for it. So this suspension will not be more than one game. He will play against the Steelers, and even if he doesn't, guess what? The Patriots will probably still win that game. I'm in that camp, too.
I don't think they can beat the Steelers without Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah,
and
the Steelers are so...
Who's he throwing the ball to?
The Steelers are not good against the Patriots. They are never good against the Patriots. I don't care if it's at Heinz Field, Gillette Stadium, or Fenway Park.
Because the Patriots always have Rob Gronkowski, who kills
the
Steelers when
they
play.
They won the Super Bowl last year without Rob Gronkowski. This year they have Brandon Cooks.
They're not going to have Hogan. I don't think they'll have Hogan for that
Pittsburgh game. You don't know that, though. They could. They'll still have weapons.
No,
their run game has come around, and their offense is still playing pretty well. And you got to think that their offensive line will be back to their former self, and they play pretty well. Maybe not pass protection, but run block. They've been a lot better these past 2 weeks.
No Hogan, no Gronkowski. Do the Patriots go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers?
No Hogan, no Gronkowski. It's definitely not a slam dunk. I don't say it's unwinnable like you do, though.
I'm not saying it's unwinnable, but it's 50-50. It's 50-50.
I think it is probably 50-50.
I don't feel good about 50-50 in the biggest game of the year.
Okay, I mean, and that would...
That's what other teams do. New England's never been 50-50 in the biggest game of the year. It's even the biggest game of the year, Patriots, 65-70%
chance. I'd probably give them 60-40. I think that Bill Belichick is just head and shoulders above the coach that Mike Tomlin is.
I mean, obviously.
And I think that this team's way more well-rounded than that team is, even on paper, with the talent that they have. Even without Rob Gronkowski. I don't see them losing to the Steelers. I see them running through the AFC like they've done the past 8 weeks. And I don't think Rob Gronkowski being there is enough. And just back to the main point, Gronkowski deserves to be fined.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
Maybe suspended one game. I could see that. But to say that he deserves to be suspended at least three games is literally just teams.
Right, who is that, Stephen A?
Stephen A, Donovan McNabb, and that whole first take crew. So that,
how about Roddy Harrison saying he should be suspended? I love Roddy, but what a hypocrite.
Oh, I agree. And you get a lot of people like that. It's absurd. And you got a lot of dumb opinions. Keep it in perspective. What he did was bad. Maybe he deserves a suspension. There's no excuse for it. He has a right to be pissed off. He misdirected his anger. And he deserves whatever punishment he gets as long as it's under two games suspension. So
you used the word there, perspective. And I want to end on this because we need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Again, if you do that on the street, you're going to jail. But it's not on the street.
No.
You need to look at it in context of what's going on in the NFL, especially this season. Look up the A.J. Green hit. Look up Ndamukong Suh choke-slamming Ryan Mallett. Go Google Bill Romanowski. Go Google Jack Tatum, all right? I know it's a different game, but at the end of the day, you still need to compare it to something. And this is by far not the worst thing that has happened in the NFL this year.
It's not Mike Evans.
And one more, the whole thing that if that had been a defensive player going for Brady's knees, Patriots fans would be calling for his heads. Cut that excuse out. It's a completely different scenario. That's like me saying, okay, yeah, well, when James White got hit over the middle during the play, it was clean. But that's like if I then come and say, oh, yeah, well, imagine that play if it had been on the sideline an hour before the game and he shot him. Like, you can change the scenario all you want.
I hate people.
But let's
keep
it in reality.
And after Deflategate, I will say this. People who are still in the camp, like, the Patriots get away with everything. Really? Did you witness the Deflategate fiasco? Do you actually know your stuff in regards to that case? The NFL is not pro-Patriots. They're pro-owners.
Right.
Big difference. They're not going to do something that is going to disadvantage the Patriots just for the sake of it. They're going to do something that the owners will get behind. And I don't think the owners want to see Gronk out for an extended period of time. I just don't think that's something that
Art Rooney does. Whoever owns the Dolphins does.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't think that's going to be enough.
I'll say this. To all the people who are seeing this as an extension of Deflategate, you guys won Deflategate. Brady missed four games. It didn't matter. And you know what? Maybe the Patriots do have to go into Pittsburgh in January in the AFC Championship game. And I'm kind of coming back on my own point here. I'm not saying they'd be out of it. I'm just saying I don't want to. I'd rather be at home, so it's a route instead of a close game.
The Patriots on the road in the AFC Championship is not a good
The worst thing the NFL could do is suspend Rob Gronkowski, because look how energized this fan base got and this team got rallying around Brady. You see the exact same thing if Rob Gronkowski misses time.
And maybe that's what they want.
Maybe. We'll see. There's a lot more to have. I'll keep having this conversation if you want on Twitter, at RealAlexBarth. You are?
At Alex_Lebowitz with a B, not a V.
All right. Well, there's a lot else going on this weekend besides the Patriots. We get to it on the other side. You're listening to Callin' It, powered by CLNS Media.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Week 13 of the NFL season has more or less come and gone, and for a lot of people, Lebowitz, that meant in or out of the fantasy football playoffs. So you're still alive, or is your season done?
My season's been done since about week 5.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers went down, and that just killed me.
Yeah, this is why I'm kind of done with the season-long fantasy sports. I look at DraftKings as the place that's perfected it. Every week, you can choose a different team.
DraftKings is great. You can put your fantasy knowledge to the test to win huge cash prizes every night playing one-day fantasy football, or if you're really done with football, play basketball, play hockey. They have it all at DraftKings.com.
At DraftKings, there are so many ways to play as well, which is awesome.
You can choose from public contests with huge cash prizes or private contests where you can play against your friends for bragging rights.
They've even got beginner or in casual contests where you'll play against people with similar skill level.
And the best part, you can draft a new team every day. So Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, whatever. Dalvin Cook gets hurt, whatever. This is how painful my fantasy season was. And the draft's the best part of fantasy, let's be honest.
And the only thing better than just playing fantasy for the fun of it is winning cash while doing it.
Just ask Dan from St. Louis or Jeremy from Austin. They both turned a $3 entry into thousands of bucks.
Huge cash prizes and bragging rights, more importantly, bragging rights.
Of course.
Await only at DraftKings.
And here's the deal right now. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com to play free with your first deposit for a share of $10,000 in total prizes. You can do that tonight, so don't wait. Use code CLNS at DraftKings.com right now. Choose your lineups, and you can seriously cash in as early as tonight. That's code CLNS only at DraftKings.com, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome back. Now that we got all that out of the way, I don't apologize for my outburst, actually. I stand by it.
All right, you should. Stand by everything. Never apologize. That's my motto.
Sometimes you got to apologize. Gronk was right to apologize, but people need to come back down to earth with this.
Yeah, you usually get, two separate groups on opposite sides. There's not a lot of logic that goes into these types of things. It is what it is. People hate the Patriots or they love the Patriots, one or the other. That's how it goes.
All right, we move on, though. There's a lot else that happened this week, a lot else we want to get to. Rapid fire segment. What is it called? Stuff we didn't have time for?
Segments that aren't important enough to dedicate a segment to segment.
All right, fair enough.
It changes every time.
All right, so I got a list here, just stuff over the weekend we want to touch on. Obviously, a Patriots victory Monday, the Celtics as well. As they keep rolling, they beat the Suns. It was close, but they beat the Suns. Let me pose this question to you, Alex Leibowitz. Are the Celtics boring? Have we run out of storylines? I just feel like what new angle has been introduced to this team since Gordon Hayward got hurt? Yes, the young kids are playing very well. Yes, Kyrie's outstanding. Yes, people can't decide if Al Horford's good or not. But I feel like there's been no new developments in the last month and a half.
I don't like that last point. Al Horford is very good, and those of you that refuse to acknowledge that stink. You all stink. It's kind of repetitive. They are what they are. There's no really fall off right now. I think the only thing that we're waiting for is a healthy Cavaliers team to really see what this team's capable of. That's the measuring stick. Until then, yeah, it's just a team that's playing pretty dominantly in a very weak conference.
I just thought it would be more, during the streak, at least you had something to hang on. Now it's, I don't know, they win every night. I'm coming off as a spoiled Boston fan, am I?
It's midseason. And you made this point before we started, before we hit record. It's like baseball in May or June. Like, you're kind of just waiting for things to really
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm happy they're winning, but it's like, okay, what's next? The resurgence of the new core can only last so long. All right, next up, the Bruins winning as well. Took a couple of big games last week. Victory Monday for them. They beat Tampa, who's a good team, and Philly, who's lost 10 straight. We talked about this a little bit last week. You said you were still hesitant to buy in on the Bruins. They beat maybe the best team in the Eastern Conference in the Tampa Bay Lightning. Are you in?
They're definitely a playoff caliber team. They can make the playoffs. They can sneak in, 6-8 seed. I don't think I ever really denied that. It's about what their ceiling is. Do I think that they're a team capable of fighting for a Stanley Cup this year? No. Next 3 to 5 years, maybe, I guess. But it depends on the moves that they make now. Do you think Patrice Bergeron is going to be a part of that? Do you think Tuukka Rask is going to be a part of that when that time comes? I'm still a no on that. They have a lot of young talent. They've shown that they have a lot of really good young talent. And you got to build around that. I'm not going to get too hyped because they've won a couple big games this past week.
I'm out on the sell. I think beating Tampa Bay and beating some of the teams that they beat in this last 2-3 week stretch, whatever it is, has proven that they can make some noise. I'm not saying sell all out and buy and try to make a title run, but we have a hockey season. We have a legitimate hockey season in Boston. And now that they're finally healthy, I'm not all in yet. I wouldn't start the fire sale, but if they can actually figure out a goaltender, if one of these guys can get hot, and I don't mean win 3 or 4 games in a row, I mean put up a legitimate month, whether it is Rask or Khudobin, if either one of them can get hot, they should be able to return to the... I now consider them a playoff team, like you said, and I think missing the playoffs this year, given the way they've played, now that we've seen what they are healthy, mm-hmm. would be a disappointment if they stay healthy. Not a victory Monday for the Red Sox. They were informed yesterday they are out on Giancarlo Stanton. Consider me very disappointed. I know the plan now is Jose Abreu and J.D. Martinez, but I think it was Jimmy Stewart from the Felger Mad Show who said this yesterday. Somebody said yesterday on Twitter, there is a difference between players who put up numbers and players who change the game. I think Abreu, I think Martinez are guys that put up numbers, mm-hmm. but they don't have the effect on the game Stanton does. The Red Sox can still have a relatively successful offseason, but every move they make now is compared to what if Stanton, and that's disappointing for me.
You know what? I think that's a bunch of crap. I don't like that logic, because all you're really arguing there is, you know, they put up numbers and they're marketable. That's literally it. Giancarlo Stanton...
No, it's not being marketable. It's that...
It's moving the needle. It's having that edge.
But do you have a guy who's going to hit 40 home runs and they're all going to be solo shots? Or do you have a guy who's going to hit 40 home runs and he's going to hit them late in the game with guys on base?
I mean, they do need that. They need someone who can actually hit with runners in scoring position. I don't think that's going to... I don't think J.D. Martinez or Jose Abreu aren't capable of doing that. Obviously, they're not the same caliber of player as Giancarlo Stanton. But you can get them for cheaper cost. You don't have to give up anything for
them.
They're
the Red Sox. The cost shouldn't matter. It's not a salary cap sport.
I understand that. But if you get Giancarlo Stanton, you also have to get rid of at least two or three top five prospects in your organization. And I said this before we started. I don't know how good a guy like Giancarlo Stanton would play. How good of a fit he'd be in a big market. He's played in Miami. Is he a Carl Crawford or is he someone who can thrive? Maybe he's the latter. I don't know, though, and I'm not sure if he would be, just given what I've seen from him.
Teams used to walk David Ortiz on late in games as the tying or go-ahead run because they didn't want to pitch to him. We've probably been spoiled a little bit watching that, but I think that the Red Sox need that guy. They have that. They have empty numbers guys. They have Moreland. They have Hanley. Until you have that guy that teams have to seriously think about pitching to with men on in the ninth inning, you're not going to contend, because the Astros have that guy. The Dodgers, in spades, they do. The Dodgers have that guy as well. Until you have that guy, you can't seriously contend for World Series. I enjoyed this yesterday. Nice little surprise. I was getting out of my car, getting ready for the Patriots game. Alabama is in the college football playoff. They will be the fourth seed. We will get our Alabama-Clemson round three. Thank you. Thank you, mm-hmm. Condoleezza Rice. I think she's still on that committee.
Yes.
The other game, by the way, is going to be outstanding. Oklahoma and Georgia is going to be fantastic. I think the committee got it right. Ohio State-Clemson, we saw what it was last year, would have been a blowout. And I don't know if Ohio State or Clemson could really hang with either of the teams on the other side. I think Clemson, you know, maybe Clemson-Oklahoma is a game. Clemson being the one seed to me is kind of a joke because they lost to Syracuse. But there really was no one seed this year, which is part of what made it so fun. Alabama-Clemson is going to be an outstanding game. Oklahoma-Georgia is going to be an outstanding game. Alabama against either one of those teams will be an outstanding game. And I think Clemson against Oklahoma would be a very good game. As long as we don't get Clemson-Georgia, I think we're in for three very good games. The committee was never going to pass on an Alabama-Clemson rematch. Ohio State fans can be pissed all they want. Big Ten fans can be pissed all they want. The SEC is still the premier conference in college football. Ohio State wasn't getting in. They lost by 31 points to an unranked Iowa team. You can all go lick the bottom side of a boat. But I do think I would be interested to see what Ohio State, Wisconsin would look like. Even Ohio State, UCF. I think UCF undefeated deserved a chance to play for this title. I think this year was the perfect case that they need to expand to eight teams.
Yes. No.
I know you're not a big college football guy, so I figured I'd take most of that one.
My only point is, I don't follow college football. We have, 3 weeks until this stuff actually happens, so it'll be fun to watch the Patriots until then. I'll be doing it anyways once these games are on there. I'll actually be out of the country when this stuff's all going on anyway. But to your point about eight-game playoffs instead of what we have now, which is four-game, it's inevitable.
Eight-game is too much. Eight-team,
that's what I meant. Eight-team playoff, that's inevitable. It's more money for college football, and it's less controversy in the selection because there's teams that are left out that some people think should be in and vice versa. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it will definitely help the game when they do make that move, which is inevitable.
All right, got to make the – oh, wrong button. We got to make this a little more rapid fire here. The LeVar Ball rule instituted in Los Angeles. You were telling me about this off the air. I actually missed this weekend, so if you want to explain it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a rule at the Staples Center for the Lakers. I don't know if it applies to the Clippers. But media members cannot interview guests of any players at the games, which is pretty much
LeVar Ball.
Literally only about LeVar Ball, which – I don't know. My only takeaway, it's kind of the same as it's always been. I feel really bad for Lonzo. I feel like LeVar is actually starting to call out the coaches, starting to call out his teammates, and that puts this kid in a really tough spot. So when people say, he's a good father, he's being supportive, no, he's not. He's putting his kid in a really awful situation. That's the main that's the crux of it. But some people don't like to acknowledge.
So it's just a Staples Center policy. It doesn't apply on the road.
I'm not sure if it applies on the road. I'm not sure if
it must. I'm guessing that's a Lakers
policy. It must be a Lakers media member policy.
I think it is, because yeah. I don't know how the Staples Center would enforce that. But
he's going to start buying his own ticket.
He's going to do something, right? You said that off air. He's going to do something. He'll still talk to the media. I think this stemmed off of – I did see he had some comments about Julius Randle not passing to Lonzo late in the game and that it cost the Lakers a game. But you're kidding yourself if you think this is going to keep him away from the media. He'll buy his own ticket. He'll start holding press conferences in his home. Some things you're not going to get LeVar Ball away from the cameras that easily. You're kidding yourself if you think you are. End on a couple NFL thoughts here. The Eagles on Sunday Night Football lost. If you watched our NFL recap, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. I told you, the Eagles finally face a tough opponent. They lose. Go figure. I think they're in for a rude awakening next week against the Rams as well. The Eagles, they've only played two games against teams over 500. They won one of them against the Panthers at home late. They lost to the Chiefs. They've now lost to Seattle. I don't have the Eagles as one of my final two NFC teams. I don't.
This was kind of a win-win for me take-wise last night, because I've been saying it all season long. One, I like the Eagles, so if they won, it proves my point there. And two, I will never count out the Seahawks as long as they have Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and this core together. Last night, they had a big win against the top team in the NFC. Whether you admit it or not, record-wise, they were the top team. And I think the Seahawks are in it as much as anyone. That's my main takeaway. I don't care if their defense is taking a step back. I don't care if they have a ton of injuries. They're still the Seahawks. And I think in a league, and especially a conference in the NFC, that is spread out and has a lot of decent teams, there's no clear-cut favorite. I think we could see the Seahawks back in the Super Bowl.
Look, if they get a home game in the playoffs, anything goes. And yeah. They still have Russell Wilson, who snuck his way into the MVP race. He's now tied with Brady for second most touchdown passes behind Carson Wentz, who also played, despite the loss, I thought played very well last night. That MVP race is going to be fascinating, too. It's really a three-horse race.
Absolutely.
If you want to throw Alvin Kamara in there, maybe. He's been great. And then one more NFL thought before we wrap up. This came down Monday morning before we recorded. Knew it was coming. Ben McAdoo out in New York. I still think benching Eli was a bitter move by him, blaming Eli for the team struggling, blaming him for losing his job. But that's just some kind of mess there in New York. This is the kind of thing that it's going to take years to clean up from.
Yeah, they've really taken such a spiral down, and they're probably and the thing is, it's not like their quarterback situation's even close to being solved. Like, are they going to go for a quarterback this year? Do they like this Davis Webb guy? Do they go back to Eli this week? I don't know. It's just a complete crap show out there in New York. I don't know who's going to be the interim coach.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Steve Spagnuolo. Who's going to be the successor? Are they going to go with him? I don't know. I think what we could see to relate it to the Patriots is maybe Josh McDaniels is the next head coach of the Giants.
And actually, this just came across here as we're recording. Eli Manning will be the starting quarterback for the Giants this week, according to Adam Schefter. So, question answered pretty quickly. One more thing. I almost forgot it. I can't believe I almost did. Tiger Woods is back, baby!
You keep telling yourself that.
He had a rough Saturday, but look, all he needed to do going into this tournament was play four rounds, stay healthy. We'll see how he feels this week. But he made it through a tournament. He made the cut. We got to see the Sunday red. We got to see some fist bumps. I'm not saying he's going to win the Masters or anything. I'm on record as saying I don't think he'll win another major. But it would be nice if we could see Tiger back in competitive golf and not just trying and failing every week.
Hey, it's better than him being passed out on the side of a highway on multiple prescription painkillers.
This is not like Texas. This is not Texas's back, folks. I think we can really declare Tiger is back.
No, we can't.
He's more back than Texas was.
I guess by default. I don't know, though. We'll see.
Tiger's back. You heard it here. We saw the Sunday Red. He's back.
Yeah.
That will do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week. There will probably be some sort of Patriots Periscope during the day. You can follow us on Twitter to figure that out, at Callin' It Podcast. But we'll have a full show next week, a lot to get into. Maybe even final South Park episode this week, a South Park season review, so keep an eye out for that.
Can't wait.
Again, you got to follow us on Twitter to see that, at Callin' It Podcast. Follow CLNS Media, at CLNS Media. You can get us on iTunes, on the CLNS Media app, or on clnsmedia.com. So until next week, he's Alex Lebowitz. I'm Alex Barth. This has been Callin' It. We'll talk to you then. Bye.